Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton. If you have a question for John, text it in, 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Well, 3-0, and in typical Seahawks fashion, they make it very exciting. They don't have many comfortable wins, do they?
No, they don't. And
this defense, I mean, John, the defense.
Yeah, I mean, but still, it's like you look at it, and they're 3-0. And they're, you know, up there with Green Bay as the number one seed in the NFC. So you can complain about the numbers, you can complain about the points, you can complain about the yards, all those different things allowed, but they're still winning. And things should – now, again, you worry about the injuries. That's going to be a big factor. But in the end, I think that it's one where you got to just try to gut through it and then hope things get better, hope guys get healthier, and hope the defense can start coming together.
Boy, that was quite a blow yesterday when we got the injury report, you know, where...
Six players.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've had Marquise Blair and, of course, Irvin are very valuable on the defense, and another three guys that are pretty key. I mean, Nico Thorpe, you know, more of a special team guy, but, you know, the way that that Dunbar has been playing and Leno Hill, yeah, all of a sudden, it feels, John, like they can't suffer too many more. Hopefully it slows down here.
Well, I mean, you see that, but that's the league-wide trend right now. I mean, it's bad. I counted up, because I've been keeping track of this since 2015, that there was 256 missed starts, because what I do is I count the missed starts, and that was bigger, 215 in the first 3 weeks. There's 254, and we're not even including tonight's game. And then this week, because I thought, because remember how I was saying last week, I thought there'd be 25 to 30 starters that wouldn't be back this next week.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. It was 44. So it's like that's how bad it was, to a point where there was 113 players who had missed starts in week three, and that's more than any since 2015, since I charted it. So we're off to record numbers. I mean, I don't know if you saw San Francisco. They just came out, and they got more injuries. Jordan Reed has an MCL sprain, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Reed, the safety, the safety's going to be okay. Greenlaw's not going to be back this week. They may get Deebo Samuel. That's a chance for him to come off the injured list. But, you know, when you're down nine starters, and they technically finished the game minus two tight ends or two best tight ends because George Kittle didn't play, and also now you got Jordan Reed. I mean, that's a mess.
Yeah. How about, John, with Chris Carson? First of all, you know, what his status is, what you think, but then also, you know, what about the play on that? What do you think is going to happen to the fine and things like that? That was a pretty ugly tackle.
They're definitely going to be a fine because, you know, I know that they're saying there was no intent, but, you know, he showed a couple things that he must be a dirty player. And so I know that Mike Nolan came to his defense, and I don't think he was saying that, you know, he wasn't excusing the squeezing of the knee or anything like that, but he just said, "Oh, this isn't a dirty player. This wasn't intentional." But I think most of everybody disagrees.
Yeah, the video says otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one is, you know, the slow motion, I always think, but that one was pretty, that was pretty bad. I mean, the helmet to helmet on Russ, mm-hmm. I just always think, well, look, that's a bang bang play, but it's weird too because, you know, now I mean, that was something that you might see in, like, the 70s, right, John?
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, that kind of play. I mean, somebody was asking me, I think it was John Curley was asking me. I remember a guy poking me in the eye one time. And then, you know, I had a hit myself that looked bad. But, you know, I called and apologized, said I didn't mean to do it and everything. But, you know, it's something like that it's pretty rare these days because it seems like, first of all, everybody knows one another,
mm-hmm.
or they have the same agent or trainer or whatever, and the guys are more friendly. They're swapping jerseys after the game, and, you know, it just seems like this guy's from, like, the 1960s or something, like a Raider team from 1965.
Exactly.
Here's the cut quickly. Sorry, Jim. I just want to play the cut you were talking about. Mike McCarthy talking about Tristan Hill as the guy who hurt Chris Carson on that play.
Well, I think it's like a lot of things in the game of football. First of all, there was zero intent for injury there. So, you know, I want to make that clear. I know Tristan, you know, that's not exactly was his intent. I think you see fundamentals particularly early in the season, particularly this season, that we need to continue to work through and do a better job of. So I just think he was trying to wrap and roll, and the result of it occurred in the injury. I mean, by no means do we want to see players get hurt, especially when it's unnecessary. But by all, you know, I could trust me, there was zero intent involved there.
Is a rap and roll something very similar to music, where you rap and then, of course, you rock and roll? Is that what the rap and roll is?
Rap and roll. Sounds like the name of a sushi place.
Yeah, it does. Except that Carson was face down on the ground. The play was, I mean, he was already over. Then you see him give kind of a little extra oomph on that roll there. He just,
I'm always reticent to criticize, though. I mean, you can't judge intent, certainly. But you're right. I mean, he's gonna defend his player.
Yeah, he's not going to say, you know, he did try to hurt him. We told him not to, but he tried. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Well, he should have said, well, I've told the guys, yeah, we got to hurt him, you know. get that outside ACL. Is that what Greg Williams said? Remember in the,
thing
about Bounty Gate?
Bounty Gate. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I wonder if he'll come out and apologize. But do we know anything about Carson, how bad it is?
According to Pete, I mean, Pete says it's not too bad, and there's a chance that he might be able to play. So it's a first-degree sprain, so you know that's not as bad as second-degree or third-degree. It's not like Jordan Brooks with the MCL, which knows he's going to be out a couple weeks.
Oh,
so
boy.
You get the idea that, again, it was a first-degree MCL, so it may not be the 4 to 6 that you would normally expect. You know, it could be 2 to 4. But I think that there's a chance he might be able to play. Clearly, if he does, I think they'll take it easy on him. He's not going to be, you know, out there for 40, 50 plays. I don't see that happening.
All right, John, if Pete Carroll calls you up and says, hey, Professor, I've got one of the greatest offenses in NFL history, but I have one of the worst defenses in NFL history, what should I do? What can I do to fix my defense?
Coach him up. That's about what you have to do. I mean, you have to try to get everybody on the same page. You need to start cutting down any injuries. But when you start to think about, you know, losing, you know, 2 to 3 guys every week, that's going to cause all kind of confusion. I mean, you know, they were down 2 defensive backs. You know, now they're getting thinner at the linebacker position. So, you know, you just try to do that. I mean, I don't go for the idea of firing coach. I mean, that's not it. That's wrong, because there's, I think, more problems than good if you do that. Because, again,
well, why, John?
Well, I mean, Ken Norton.
If you look at Ken Norton's record at Oakland and here in Seattle, it's not
Oakland
good.
Was terrible.
Well, okay.
Oakland was in a stretch of like seven years.
It's been terrible in Seattle, too.
What's that?
The defense hasn't been good in Seattle either.
Okay, so you want to fire the guy.
I would think that would be something they should consider.
They're 3-0. You're going to fire the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I would consider it, John.
Okay, and of course,
wouldn't you say they're 3-0 in spite of the defense, John?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, or because of Russell Wilson and the offense, you can say that. But also, it's like you know, there's more creativity, even though some of it's not working. But it's more creativity on the defense, because, you know, now they've gone 30% blitzing, 33-34% blitzing, and, you know, they've got players that can do it. But unfortunately now, you know, Jamal Adams, he's probably not going to be able to play this week with a groin injury, first degree groin injury. But tell me, and Dave, I'll put this one on you. How do you think it's going to go in the locker room with KJ Wright and with Bobby Wagner if you fired the guy that was their mentor? It's not going to go over well.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I'll tell you the other thing, which I'm very sensitive to right now. It's like there are so few black coordinators, particularly offensive coordinators, so few black coordinators. I'd hate the idea that you would fire one. That's just ridiculous. That's sad. Because, again, there needs to be more black coaches in this league. There needs to be more diversity. And, you know, I think if you have a coach like Ken Norton Jr., you give him every chance in the world to succeed. Because that would be wrong to start to do something to him like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to happen. That's
no,
for sure. I mean, they're 3-0. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, sit down and, you know, maybe Pete gets more involved. You know, maybe Clint Hurt, whatever. But, you know, they're trying to find ways. But, yeah, I mean, I think they have to do something. You know, and I'm not saying fire Ken Norton.
No.
But, you know, 64 plays. 27% of the plays have been for over 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, the way you fix that is, and this is something you can't always control, but you can try, is get takeaways, because that's what they did last year. They're also stopping the run. But, you know, those things, the deep crossers, things like that, that's definitely a problem. You know, when you see, like, Shaquille, he makes a really good play for that on that interception,
yeah.
which I'm pretty sure was cover two, and he just kind of undercut in a zone. It might have been man, but it's hard to tell. But it was a beautiful play. I mean, he makes that, but then he just, you know, the guy gets past him and beats him, and it's a perfect throw and catch. But, I mean, it just keeps happening. So, you know, you've got to figure out how to get, like, the deep crosser, you know, taken care of and just pay particular attention to that. But, you know, he has, I thought, been doing a good job of sort of manufacturing pressure. They got 10 hits on the quarterback the other day, you know, and they're using things. The only thing I'm not a fan of is the zone blitz. And that's just because you're dropping defensive linemen back into coverage and they don't know how to cover. But, you know, they're trying to find any way that they can to get pressure. So, yeah, but I mean, at 3-0, I think it's, that'd be pretty bizarre, John, just in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
If you fired your.
But also, I think you have to put everything in the context of what's going on in the National Football League and not isolating saying Seattle's an island and everything is going wrong with Seattle and no place else. I mean, you know, say what you want about Green Bay. They're 3-0 too, but they have to have Aaron Rodgers score 40 points a game to be able to win. I mean, they gave up 34 points to a Minnesota Viking team that has been terrible on offense. Kirk Cousins is off to a horrible start. You know, New Orleans scored 30 points on him last night. And so it's like, you look at that, you look at the New Orleans Saints. I mean, a defense that I thought would be one of the better ones in football, and look at the points that they're allowing. We are in a league right now, I don't know if Pete Carroll addressed it when he was on with Danny and Gallant this morning, that there's, you know, just, you've got offenses right now that are passing the ball more. They're being successful passing the ball. The good, experienced quarterbacks are the ones that are doing well. And so you start to look and you say, okay, who did the Seahawks face? All right, he's facing a former MVP in Cam Newton, a former quarterback who took his team to the Super Bowl and MVP in Matt Ryan, and then they face Dak Prescott, who's off to a fantastic start. And so it's like, okay, and you're doing it at a time when you're still trying to catch up on defense because with no preseason games and no offseason program. It's not easy.
Well, fair enough, Professor. I just look at somebody texted in too that when Tom Cable was let go, they made a change to Solari and there was an upgrade.
But that was after the season. You want to fire him during the season?
And then Kansas City, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl and they made a change at defensive coordinator and the defense got better. It wasn't great, but it was good enough for them to win the Super Bowl. I'm just throwing it out there as a suggestion because. Truly, John, when you look at the statistics in Oakland, in Seattle, it hasn't been good with Ken Norton as defensive coordinator. That's all. I think I'm stating facts on that. It just, they haven't been good. And whether it's personnel, whether it's schemes, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to.
But you wanted to fire him during the season. I mean, in the case of the two coaches that you just mentioned, that was after the season.
And well, do you think they have a defense that could get Seattle to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Do you really?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. As long as Russell Wilson keeps playing the way that he does and the offense keeps doing the things that they have, they've not been beaten yet. And they've had double-digit leads in three games. Tell me how many double-digit leads they had last year.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a game along the way where Cam Newton scores from the one and Dak Prescott connects in the final seconds.
But you're also going to have games where you're taking on quarterbacks who complete 59% of their passes, have more sacks and interceptions. I mean, you see the gauntlet of quarterbacks that's going to help the stats on this defense, you know, whether it's going to be Daniel Jones, whether it's going to be Dwayne Haskins, whether it's going to be Sam Darnold. I mean, you look at the five or six quarterbacks they're going to face that are 3 years or less experience, and that's where they start to catch up a little bit.
Okay, but Andy Dalton threw for 400 yards against this defense last year, and so did Matt Schaub.
Yeah, okay. Did they make the playoffs? Did they win the games?
No, they didn't. I hate going back and forth with you. Like
yeah,
this,
I know, because it's like...
I absolutely love you, but I just, we differ on this. I just don't see the defense getting better with him in charge. That's all.
Okay, so we'll see where it goes at the end of the season, okay? Because, again, this is an unusual season. And, you know, say what you want. Say what you want still. They did make the key stops at the right time. Again, not many, but it's like they made the stop on Cam Newton at the one-yard line. They had the interception in the end zone. I thought one of the keys to the game was, you know, at least allowing the Cowboys to only get a field goal in that last one that gave, you know, gave them the one-point lead. And then here's Russell Wilson because, I mean, you know, I think, you know, we're all standing and sitting there and watching, and it's like, oh, you're giving Russell Wilson 3 minutes and 59 seconds to go win the game? Well, guess who's going to go win the game? It's going to be Russell Wilson.
Well, here's the other thing, too, I would say about the whole – and we've always said this, so might as well stick to our guns. It's Pete's defense. You know, and that's the way it's been described is, you know, whoever's the D coordinator is sort of the keeper of Pete's defense. So, you know, look, it's on Coach Carroll and everybody. So, I mean, singling out Norton, I mean, I don't think we've ever thought of it that way, that this is Ken Norton's defense, have we?
Well, no, we've thought of it as Pete's, and Quinn ran it well, Bradley ran it well, and for whatever reason, Norton doesn't run it well.
Yeah, well, I mean...
So if we're going to continue with the theme that it is truly Pete's defense, you had two guys who had a lot of success in managing it and running it the way it appeared to be set up to run, and this is not what I'm imagining this is not what they intended. Well, it's not running the way they want it to.
Go back to year one with Brian Schottenheimer. And remember in the Denver and Chicago game, you know, Brian was so enamored with Russell Wilson's talent that he called more passing plays than anybody expected. And he ended up losing both those games. And what did Pete Carroll end up doing? They had a big confab in his office, and they say, no, let's do what we normally do. Of course, it's not we, because again, at that time, Brian's only been coaching for two games as a Seahawks offensive coordinator. So they put their minds together and they started to get back to the running game, and that turned out to be okay. They had a good season like that. I would have to make the same thing, because I mean, do you think that Pete Carroll is going to let Ken Norton Jr. do something that he doesn't want to have happen?
Right.
That's not going to happen.
I mean, I agree.
I mean, that's something that just is not going to be right. And so corrections need to be made. And, what you worry about this week, and I just look at this Miami game as a possible trap game because of all the injuries, the fatigue and all that stuff. I mean, you know, this team needs desperately to get to the bye week in week six as fast as possible, but also to be there at 5-0, that's what they need to do.
Who's going to go first, John? Dan Quinn or Adam Gase?
Adam Gase. The talk in New York today, because remember, they were highly evaluating him on Sunday's game, and of course the evaluation is going to go stinko for him because they weren't even competitive, but they have a Thursday night game. So to make a change like that this on a Monday when you have a Thursday night game probably would be a dumb thing to do. But if he loses and has another bad game, I would have to think with that 10-day break after the fact that they have the Thursday night game, he's going to go first.
And then Quinn, it feels like Atlanta's trying to get him fired. I mean, the way they blow these leads, you're like, seriously? Two out of three games you've done this? And then you throw in the Super Bowl. I mean, man, this is a bad rep to have.
Well, here's what I don't understand is that, here's Dan Quinn. Now, we watched yesterday an incredible thing happen in Tennessee, because here's Mike Vrabel, and he was always a good play caller on defense, but he gave the play calling to one of his assistants, and unfortunately, that assistant got COVID, so he couldn't attend a game. And so, Vrabel delegated some other things on the sidelines and let some other people do some things, and he called the game. Now, again, it was 31-30 to Minnesota, but, I mean, he stepped in and helped out. If things get bad, which you're wondering about, and they're bad now in Atlanta, why is Dan Quinn having two different coordinators, coaches call plays? Jeff Ulrich, you remember him, the old special teams player, coached here for a little bit. He's calling the early down plays, and Raheem Morris is then doing the passing down plays. And it's like, it's not working. It's like, why are you continuing that? Either Dan, you call it, or let one guy call it, but get it right. It's not right now.
John, good news, bad news. The good news is the Rams got beat by Buffalo. Bad news is the Seahawks have to go play Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
In Buffalo, and Josh Allen. Pretty surprising. Maybe not, but 10 touchdowns and one interception. Pretty good quarterback play out of him.
Yeah, you really look at it as that he's done well. And so I know I had to do a thing for the Washington Post today. And what I had to do is I wanted to rate the quarterbacks and how they've done and how surprising. And Jim Moore's going to be happy about one of the things I'm going to say here in a few seconds. But
you might reconsider whether you want to say it or not.
I'll say it. It's like, I was beating him up on the Norton thing, so I'll make him feel better. I'll try to. But again, it's like you have to make the argument that Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback from that 2018 draft. And now you have to say, Josh Allen is second best. Now, he was the seventh player taken in the draft, but he's done more than Sam Darnold. He's done more than Baker Mayfield, who's completing 59% of his passes. I mean, certainly Josh Rosen was a disaster. I mean, he's 3 years into being a first-round pick, and he's on a practice squad, so that's not good. But I have to think that you have him being – Josh Allen now the third best. I mean, he finally got out of that rut of only getting 19.2 points a game. He's now scoring close to 30. That's impressive. And he did it against the Rams defense. It started out very well. The other thing I add is that from the 2019 draft, I think you make the argument that the number two quarterback could be Gardner Minshew.
Wow, Professor.
Sure? Again, I'm talking about from that draft.
Yeah, that's it was tough watching him last Thursday night, though.
It's going to be tough watching him the rest of the season because you see how bad that team is.
Yeah. What about tonight's game, Professor? Kansas City at Baltimore. It should be a good one.
Should be a great one. Yeah, because, I mean, you're looking at one of the highlight games, and you're talking about two MVP quarterbacks, you know, two of the best quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in football. I mean, there's never been a time in the National Football League where you've had two quarterbacks under the age of 25 that have each won MVPs. And here they are playing each other, and this is one where it's almost like the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing, where it's like, okay, they'll probably be trying to play each other each year because they all have good chances of winning the division if they're not going to be on the schedule on the rotation of division. So I think this will be a great one. I give the edge to Baltimore just because their defense is better. They are at home. You know that there's a bunch of question marks on the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs, but what we can see happening is that they've been blowing teams out, where Kansas City's now had six consecutive games where they've had to come back from double-digit deficits to be able to win, and that's because of Patrick Mahomes.
John, could you please call us at like 5:15, 5:30, 5:45 and just give us updates on the game?
Well, why is that? Because no TV.
Because we don't have a damn TV in
well,
here.
Well, you can go studio. Back home, can't you, and work from home.
Well, afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
After.
Yeah.
But I'll miss like
you want
the
him to leave during
half.
The middle of the show, John? Come
well,
on.
See, I mean, let's put this way. Are all three of you there?
No, just Dave and
home.
I.
Oh, okay.
I'm home, John.
Okay, yeah. So it's like
you don't care, John. You don't care that we don't have a TV here. You have your TV.
Well, yeah, but I'm always working from home. I've been doing it for two decades.
Okay.
Okay, but you're spoiled.
Yeah,
you've
well,
got a television.
I'm not going to argue. It's like you're right about that.
Yeah. John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, if you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com.